And hello out there in podcast land. It's 13 o'clock podcast, episode 43.
That's right. We had a good guest today.
Yeah, we don't usually have guests, but when we do have a guest, we tend to have an awesome one.
Yeah, it's AGP. He came back again.
Yeah, way back on, if you guys remember, way back on episode 4, we had the Angry Gay Pope on talking about, it was called Interpolating Scientology.
That's right.
Yeah, and we had such a good time with him, and he's such a cool guy and such a funny guest, and we've been wanting to get him back, so we finally got him to come back and do an interview, and we were very, very excited about it.
Yeah, we promised to have him back as a semi-regular, so we'll probably have him, you know, maybe twice a year.
Yeah, but we're shooting for December again, like having him on.
Yeah, he's good to touch bases with, see what Scientology's up to. He's been on a few missions and new missions, and he's got some new videos out on his channel.
Yeah,
so,
on YouTube.
So we did a show about what he's been up to lately. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, so definitely go check out his website, which is angrygaypope.com, and check out his YouTube channel, which you can find just by searching Angry Gay Pope, or I think his channel is called The End of Scientology, though.
Yeah, and if you don't know who AGP or Angry Gay Pope is, go back and watch the first show first, and then come back with this one.
Yeah,
because this
one,
absolute riot.
Yeah, because this one he kind of like, if you don't really know that much about Scientology, some of the stuff he said might not make sense.
It might maybe over your head. You want to go back to the first show, and he can give you kind of the basic training that you need to understand what it is he's
But honestly, if you've been watching like Leah Remini's show,
then you'll know.
Then you'll know what he's talking about. And you know, and I'm gonna do some pictures and stuff like that he has from his website and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, what else is going on? Book's been selling real well, hand over fist. Oh, thanks, guys. And
yeah, thank you very much to everyone who's bought my new book and my old ones too, because those seem to be selling too.
They're cross selling each other.
That's awesome.
And podcast numbers have gone up. We have to have at least maybe 2,000 regular listeners on the podcast,
which is awesome.
Yeah, and if you guys are podcast members only, please come back and subscribe to our channel on the YouTube channel.
Yeah,
so we know how many of you are, and also like and subscribe, all that kind of stuff.
You know the drill.
You know the drill.
You know, and go to our Facebook page and like us, go to Twitter and follow us and blah, blah, blah.
We also still have samples on all the books, all the audio books.
I don't have many left of The Unseen Hand, but I have some of the other ones.
And we may be able to ask special permission to get more.
Yeah, and I might get permission to get more if, you know, if I run out.
Right.
So they might give me some more codes if I ask them very nicely.
Yeah, but you have to leave a review.
Yeah.
If you don't leave a review, we won't give you any more.
Then you suck and we hate
you.
Not really. We love you guys. And also, shout out to Project Entertainment Network and Armand Rosamilia. We actually saw him this past weekend. We were we recorded some episodes of the Scribbler's Rest podcast, where it's like a gaming podcast. We were playing Pathfinder.
Right.
So it's like, you know, you're doing like a role-playing game and you're just kind of dicking around and they recorded and everything.
It was fun.
It was really fun. And I had never played Pathfinder before, but I think we did okay. I killed a couple monsters. I did okay.
Yeah.
I supported the team.
Yeah. Is there anything else we got to tell them about?
I don't think so. I think that's probably all the housekeeping we got to do right now.
Let's go ahead and start this show. You guys are going to love this one. This is really funny.
Yeah. So listen up. The interview with the Angry Gay Pope.
All right. AGP, it's been a while, man. We haven't had you on the show for, I think, for 9 months, huh?
Yeah, it was episode 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've been busy. My friend, I met Nasty Nathaniel, and I have been doing videos together. And he's been involved in Cop Block and doing things, going to police and other locations and like doing what Scientologists call a loud investigation of them and poking them and seeing what happens. And I go, it's much more fun to like poke Scientology because then they'll get 10 times more cops here for you. You just poke the cops and you poke them.
So hold on, back up. So you're actually protesting the police that are associated with Scientology? Is that what you said?
Yes, you put them in an uncomfortable situation. Like I just posted some videos at my website, angrygaypope.com, this weekend of some police we met in San Bernardino County, California, outside of Scientology's, quote, secret vault, where some of their highest level operatives maybe like stored in a kind of permanent concentration camp. And they were all so uncomfortable. And although it was a misdemeanor trespassing charge, there were four cop cars, five deputies. One of them was as a supervisor, and they detained us for like 20 minutes, half an hour or whatever. And we said, you could find these missing Scientologists in this time if you had devoted this much manpower to that, which is amazing. You know, like human trafficking is a felony.
Okay.
Just a little bit.
Okay, can you back up and explain?
We're 20 feet from the spiked fence, you know. It's like you don't have to be Nancy Drew to investigate this. Officer, doesn't this look suspicious?
Okay, can you back up and explain to the audience briefly what it is that you're talking about? This is a secret Scientology gulag base, right?
Yes. So it's insane. Unlike most of Scientology, which I protest, which is in Hollywood or maybe even Riverside, this is in San Bernardino in an isolated outpost at Rim of the World. It's called the town is called Twin Peaks, and it's just out of like a spooky David Lynch story. But I'd feel much more safe in the David Lynch version. At least during the commercials, you could get the hell out of town.
So how many raids have you been on in the past 9 months?
I would say raids being protests, I would say one every like 3 weeks.
Yeah, anything to report?
Yeah, so the big deal started in January when my protester, Nasty Nathaniel, wanted to go to the Englewood Ideal Org so bad, and he kept talking about it. And it's like the Englewood Ideal Org is a place that the church established in Englewood about 5 years ago. And they own a beautiful building there, and then they own another beautiful building in the area that's like an auditorium. And he wanted to go there, and it's like been on my checkoff box for a long time, but I haven't been there. I could have gone to the opening, but I didn't, because they know that you're coming when there's an opening. So the police are, and everybody is front loaded against you. So I don't show up for those a lot.
Yeah. I saw the video. I saw the video of this one. It's awesome. They even have, this particular, it's almost kind of like it's blatant, almost blaxploitation going on at that particular org.
It's like, what do black people like? Fried chicken. Let's throw fried chicken at them while we sing, you know, Roller Boogie from the 1970s or something.
they even had a fake black preacher up there. But instead of, and the guy's going berserk, and instead of talking about Jesus, he's talking about something Scientology. Yeah.
Up the crowd. And then people with batons and banners do cartwheels and the whole event's over. Yeah. And they don't put that out there, so I had to pull that off of a video of some guy who is affiliated with some of the musicians and actors they hired for it, and he took it because otherwise they don't allow that. And it might even still be up, but yeah, I grabbed it. You got to grab that stuff because they won't promote it or show it, and there's no other way to see it. And that was the opening, and we showed up like 5 years later on Martin Luther King Day. So just by coincidence, it was Martin Luther King Day, and I'd like to think it was such clever marketing that we knew that the church would all be out marching in the Martin Luther King parade with like a bunch of white hypocrites and leave them like nest unguarded. I would love to say that was our whole total plot, but like it was just dumbass luck. I'm like, there's a Martin Luther King Day parade? And they're all gone. So there's like nobody there in one of the locations. We end up wandering around. There's only two people in the building. And like, I could have infected their computers with viruses or like riffled through their logs of who's coming in.
What's so funny is that the orgs are in such bad shape. If somebody shows up, and you can plainly see this in AGP's videos, if someone goes to the org, they immediately call security. Why are you coming in?
Yeah.
This is something's wrong. Something's wrong.
No
Why
one's
is somebody
usually
in here?
No one's usually in here. Why are you here? It must be bad.
Oh, you got to see it. It's hilarious.
The only people that end up showing up anymore are like journalists, smart asses, you know, anonymous snoops, and people who have to use the restroom. When I was in Pasadena 7 or 8 years ago, the Pasadena Ideal Org, there was no one in there but us two protesters, and this lady wanders in with this big cup of 7-Up and she wants to just use the bathroom. Like, and that was the three of us.
And there's no toilet paper.
I should have gone in to look. I found out in Englewood there was. There was at the one building, I managed to get into the bathroom and look, and there was, but they may have been paying. We'll get into the second building in a second, but the first building, the Ideal Org, we walked into, and right away, like, security's curious. They like, I shouldn't have said that I was here to take pictures of architecture.
That's like taking pictures of the architecture of a McDonald's. It's the most white bread, architecture ever.
But the other building is an architectural Art Deco wonder, and it was opened as a jewelry store. But the main building, the Ideal Org, is like in this one area of Inglewood, and they had a security car outside. I don't know why a religion needs a security car. Maybe it was like to make all the white people who were forced to come there for services feel secure, even though there's nobody in Inglewood that can afford it because it's like a middle class to lower class black neighborhood. It has nothing to do with Scientology. And the building was empty forever, but they bought it in conjunction with trying to get in with the Nation of Islam, which is another crazy cult, but they're like a black supremacist cult. And the Scientologists have gotten involved with them in Inglewood because they're a white supremacist cult. And they're making this sort of Oreo cookie of supremacy.
Oh my God.
An Oreo cookie of supremacy. That's hilarious.
Can that be the title of the episode?
That will be the title of the episode. AGP and the Oreo Cookie of Supremacy.
The Nation of Islam is behind everything there, even though you don't know it. And it's all Scientology when you see it up front. And you go in and they've replaced all their workers with these video droids that like show videos that you can see on the internet in your bathrobe. But you have to go there and you push a button and half of them are either turned off or the volume is turned off. So it's like, this is how you're like propagating your like precious religion. It's like you've replaced everyone with robots and then you turn the robot's volume off.
and then they turn the followers into robots too.
Yeah.
Yeah, good like, point.
And so I said to the security guard, why is that? And he goes, kids come in and push the buttons and it's annoying. So like, but some of them just need plugged in. It's like, oh, give me a break. Oh, and they're like watching me like crazy, like this is Fort Knox and I'm going to take a picture of something god awful. And my friend Nasty Nathaniel tries to buy a book called Scientology Ethics, and he just wants it as a keepsake to say that he bought it there. And it was like $30, and you can get it online for like $9 or something. It was $30 there. And then he gets to the cash register and the cash register lady says, oh, there's a like $20 org tax, and it's like $52.50.
We're like, what? How is that legal?
They're taxing themselves, even though the IRS said they can't be.
I wonder if that's true, or did that particular Scientologist try to take a cut?
Yeah, maybe she's just really bored, and she's just like, I'm standing here in this stupid store all day.
I
like,
deserve $20.
Yeah, yeah, I'm going to get a tip, goddammit. Yeah. That's probably what she's thinking.
They promised me this so much, and I've worked here for a year, and I've made next to nothing. I'm going to like gouge this guy with a lie. That's perfectly regular Scientology thing. You know, let's exploit this moment. I don't give a shit about later. Even though he tried to experience Scientology, he could not do it. He blew the set. And like, so then I sit down and I get into their Scientology Christmas catalog, which is still there from December because it's only like January 15th or whatever, something like that, you know, whatever Martin Luther King Day parade is. And so I'm looking at it, it's like, it's just like white trash Christmas where they have Scientology jewelry with their symbols on and stuff. It's like as tacky as if like the Pope put out a catalog with, you know, crucifixes covered with dripping diamonds and shit. They're like, we all know how like Jesus loved diamonds and bling. And he goes, I can't afford this book. And I say, just take all these brochures. You know, I'll scan them in later. And then their brochures are just for black people there. So there's all these extra black people in them that you would not see at the Celeb Center or in Hollywood. Even their marketing is targeted print-wise down to the level of what you sit down and see. And the where everybody stands has a big logo behind it. It's like in a video game when you wander into a room in a, you know, space alien something, and like there's a big symbol or that sort of shows what the room is about, like in an opera or a video game. And
it's got an icon.
The doors to the bathrooms have the proper font. And so we went out of there before they could kick us out. And mind you, we had turned our cell phones off the entire day just to make sure that they didn't find us. And even we visited my lawyer, and I definitely left my cell phone out there. I don't want them all knowing that like we're in the same area, because even though they don't follow us that closely, maybe they are. I don't know, but we're on the offensive. So like we're going to drop into the defensive in terms of communication that day. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we get to this second location, and it was a jewelry store that was built like in the 1920s or 30s. It's this gorgeous Art Deco thing with a giant spire, almost like a church would have. And it's like the tallest thing around. We took pictures of the spire far away. I get to the back, And the whole back of the building is this huge series of cages, like 50 feet across, that you can see online, of cell phone tower equipment and the backup batteries if the power fails and stuff like that. This huge thing from AT&T. So AT&T is making a ton of money off them. You can see the cell phone antennas up there on this giant religious-y tower that was originally a jewelry store. I don't know why they built it there. Maybe Inglewood was a different neighborhood, but it's like the perfect white elephant for them that, like, they buy these buildings, both of them in Inglewood, that were like unoccupied for a long time, and then they totally tear them apart and rehab them and upgrade them, which is great, even though they totally cheat the law doing it. But it's just sad to see these, like, great buildings that are kind of useless being taken over by scumbags like this. But they are making a bunch of money off of AT&T renting that place as a giant cell phone tower. And that's its only real function. And do you think the people that were built out of their money to buy this Inglewood Community Center auditorium will ever see any of that AT&T money?
No.
Of course not.
Yeah.
So scam is like, we got to get into Inglewood. The Nation of Islam wants to partner with us. Like, why don't you want more black people in Scientology? Are you a racist? They get all this money together to finally buy it. And then it takes them forever to upgrade it. And then it takes them even longer to do something else. And then once the Scientologists have been sucked out of money, the great leader takes the deed. And just like Monopoly, it's like as if the Monopoly board was covered with ants that gave you a hotel. And you just thought, God, take it from them. And it's gone. So they're not going to see any of that money. Only the church will. And we go inside. And like, first of all, the door was locked. But I managed to make the woman behind it open it with my force powers. I've used Star Wars force powers to get into the locked door at the Hollywood Educational Literacy Project, too. Oh, the weak-minded. Anyway, I can't do an Alec Guinness.
It's a great video.
Yeah, so she opens it up, and we go, are you closed? And she goes, no, come on in. There's only me here or whatever. And we're like, ka-ching! And we go in, and like, she says, sign in and do our welcome form. And so I give them bullshit information. And it's a shockingly beautiful building with this unbelievably hot mural. We walk in and we go like, wow, it's like you walk into like the Jurassic Park building, you know, when the movie starts and it's like, woo.
Wow.
And they have a beautiful mural that has no Scientology images in it or L. Ron Hubbard or symbols or anything. And it's all about jazz and black people. And it could be any building's mural. So they don't have to chip it out when they sell it off later to big profit. And she takes us past the typical video bots and stuff like that. And I'm stoned out of my mind on marijuana that my lawyer had puffed into my – I got stoned at my lawyer's before we went there. He's amazing. For sure. I'm like, dangerous de la marijuana. It's like, oh, I don't speak Spanish. It's like they have anti-marijuana crap in multiple languages. So she puts us in front of the video bot that we saw at the other place. Again, the like volumes are off and stuff like that. And she leaves. I have Nasty Nathaniel sit there because I can't stand to look at the fucking video. It's like throwing holy water on my ears. I've watched them. I've edited them. I don't want to see them again. It's like they're real life. Like I don't want to hear about L. Ron Hubbard, who was born in he was riding Brange Broncos when he was only 3 years old.
What the fuck?
Killed 5 Indians when he was only 10. And so Nasty Nathaniel is new to this. Like he has a thicker skin that can tolerate it more. And I walk back in the back and it's like, it is like Jurassic Park. There's this lost world of like nobody there, exhibits and things. And I went in the bathroom and they had toilet paper, which was probably paid for by AT&T, your local cell phone. Which is one reason. And then Nasty Nathaniel is like, he's going to turn his cell phone on. It's like, no! Put a flashbulb on your head and say, look at me. We spent our entire day getting off the cell phone grid so they can't track our whereabouts. Yeah. Well, not this church, but the sleazeball guys they hire. Right. And if something big enough goes wrong, they kick the message up to the next person who kicks it up to the next person. Within an hour, Miscavige knows. I don't know. Yes. What has he got to do all day? I heard he plays video games all day.
That wouldn't surprise me, actually.
I noticed up through your videos that you have a new cutie. His name is Captain Handsome.
Captain Handsome.
Yeah, Captain Handsome, you see?
We'll get to him in a minute, but I just want to finish the story. So, like, they have toilet paper, so that's good. So then Nasty Nathaniel and I end up going downstairs, but first we turn on all the computer display video bots to make lots of noise so they won't hear what we're doing. And it sounds like we're consuming something because she's just sitting at the front desk like half a mile away in this gigantic building that's empty. And we go downstairs, and, like, there's all the Scientology places you see in the videos, but it hasn't been used in 5 years. And there's, like, the rooms where they sit next to each other and stare at each other. And every room has a big symbol. One of the rooms had actually a symbol of black people on it. It's a sculpture. Each room has a major expensive sculpture that goes into the back of it. Like, there's one room that says the way to happiness room, which I don't know why it needs a room since it's a brief brochure. They're like, what do? Stick people in there at gunpoint and make them read it or something? And there's a nursery.
God, that creeps me out.
Yeah. Well, if they never use any of this stuff.
That's true.
Yeah.
They do. Mostly it's Scientologists who've been brought from rich white places to come here and are forced to do stuff. But the Nation of Islam has also had big events here. And Mayor Eric Garcetti and the chief of police, what's his name? They showed up and it's just sick. But I go to some of my Scientology protest buddies who I said to one of them who was on Leah Remini's show, I said to him, how can they do that? It's just gross. It's just awful. Both those organizations are awful. And it says Scientology right in the front of the building. He goes, they have various constituencies. This was a event where gangs were brought together, like the Crips and the Blood, to, like, bury the hatchet. So the Church of Scientology gets credit for hosting it. And I mean, they get credit for doing those things, but they and the Nation of Islam are just like Looney Tunes nutcases that have to be stopped at any time you can.
Yeah.
And so we left that one, and the whole music was Jurassic Park. And I used to get in trouble making videos where I just steal the music from Jurassic Park, even though they don't care because it's an ad for Jurassic Park.
Yeah, you said.
The James Bond movie songs are all songs with the name in the thing. So, like, Live and Let Die makes you want to see the movie. So give the fucking song away.
Right.
But you can get into copyright problems. So now I just go and I do, like, Jurassic Park cover. And all these people have done these beautiful versions of a certain song, and I can use it all through the video in different ways so that you get, like, you end with the heavy metal Jurassic Park. And, like, and another guy, he's doing Jurassic Park on the zither, and it's very, like, childlike and touching, like, that's the oh my gosh golly theme, and then there's the giddy up and go theme, which is dun 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 dun. That's no use to me. There's this lost world, and I said it at the time. I shoot for the edit. So I go, this bookstore full of, like, L. Ron Hubbard teaches children how to spell is like a lost world. I mean, there's, like, no dust on it, but, like, only because somebody comes in and dusts once in a while. Okay, so now you want to talk about Captain Hansen.
Yeah, tell us about look. Let me explain something to the audience. Your work has made celebrities out of many of the Scientology guards. There's Frank Paolo. There's a bunch of them. All right.
Nathaniel says it's like a TV show and we're all characters.
Exactly. Yeah. It's exactly what it's like. And evidently you have a new one now. All right. Captain Handsome. Tell us about Captain Handsome.
Captain Handsome is, like, really handsome. His face is squashed, though. Like, when I put his picture in Photoshop and double it, it's incredibly perfect. But in real life, his face is kind of like if you took a hamburger and sat on it, but it's still super hot. He's like good looking. These children of the Church of Scientology's few remaining members, if they're good looking, the pressure on the parents to give them up is intense. And he's now a security guard. He's on the bike sometimes over at Big Blue with some other guards like Odo Huber and Roy. But I saw him at the Hollywood Information Center on Hollywood Boulevard, not far from the Chinese Theater and Hollywood and Highland. And he's so good looking. It's like the Scientologists have this magical future realtors or pharmaceutical representatives of America club.
You all kind of look like that.
Yeah.
I mean, where do you get these gorgeous children? Do you kill your ugly babies like the Mormons do? I mean,
that also would not surprise me if they did that.
Yeah,
or they might be making them. Maybe they're cyborgs.
Yeah, and then there's another one that he's always riffing on, a guy named Angel. And he just posted a new video where he was on a raid, and Angel's there. And standing next to Angel is, I swear to God, this guy looks like a human weasel. I've never seen a man that skinny. Who was that? AGP.
Oh, was that the guy who was like, he was gray and grizzled and he was like, had a push broom thing?
No, he was standing next to Angel. He was blocking ingress. There was a guy standing next to Angel in the Scientology door. I think he was either related to Angel or maybe just another Scientology's kid. But this was the skinniest looking guy I've ever seen. He looked like a human weasel. I'm going to show pictures of him on the show. I don't know who it was. He was sitting there looking at you like you were from another planet.
I assume this is another sewer worker that has been, like, malnourished.
Must be. Yeah. He was probably about 18, 19, standing next to Angel, and he looked like a human weasel. Never seen anybody stand that way.
It wasn't Odo.
No, it wasn't Odo.
You know, that's common enough that I might have missed it because I was, like, distracted by Scientologists saying we were going to arrest you at the time or whatever.
Now, you did show Odo, and Odo has a new style. He shaved his beard, I think, didn't he?
Actually, it's starting to look decent looking, but I like still can't stand. I mean, it's bunching on a bomb. You know, anyone who gets me arrested for 4 days on false charges, like, I'm sorry, you're ugly the rest of my life.
and then it also looked like Frank Paolo made a surprise visit in one of your videos.
Yes, I have a lot of that material, but I just haven't had time to edit it because, like, you know, I have like my other jobs and stuff like that I do. But I want to get donations higher. I could spend more time on it. But until then, you know, it's going to take a long time with this backlog of Nasty Nathaniel protesting so much stuff. But I got lots of Frank from Easter. And we have I put up a little clip of it where one of the Scientologists shoves me around and Frank and I get into a row about it because, like, I was arrested for just spanking a Scientologist's ass once. And
I remember that.
That was 2015, I think, wasn't it?
I had no camera. You can only see it in the Scientologist's own security videos. They entered as evidence against me. You can imagine what the DAs are saying when they're boring lives and this crazy crap comes along. They're like, oh, 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 let's give it to the gay judge.
Okay. And on that note, we need to take a break. So we will be back with the Angry Gay Pope in just a few minutes.
Watch out. There's a new terror taking over kitchens around the world. Thrills, chills, mad cooking skills.
It Cooks, a weekly podcast brimming with recipes, tips, food finds, seasonal specials, and guests galore. Hosted by horror author Amber Fallon, hey, that's me, a foodie with over 20 years' experience cooking, baking, and generally making a nuisance of herself. You've watched Food Network, you've read cookbooks, but nothing can prepare you for It Cooks, coming to a device near you.
Subculture Corsets and Clothing is our favorite store for unusual clothing, shoes, and accessories. They offer a wide selection of men's and women's clothing at great prices. Subculture also offers a cool selection of shoes and accessories. Steampunk, gothic apparel, retro, corsets, and so much more at Subculture Corsets and Clothing. Check out Subculture online at subculturecorsets.com. That's subculturecorsets.com. Make sure you use the discount code 13O'Clock for a 10% discount. SubcultureCorsets.com or visit their store in Jacksonville, Florida, just off I-95.
Ladies and gentlemen, Project Entertainment Network presents The Mondo Method. Introducing the mentor, he's the greatest manager of all time, Mondo Guerrero. And parts unknown, up-and-coming superstar, the Great Buddha.
Okay, so their names are really Armand, Rosamelia, and Chuck Buddha. And old man Armand is going to teach Whippersnapper Chuck how to write a book. And maybe you too, while they're at it. With marketing morsels from Fair and Sweet Kalahari. Exclusively on Project Entertainment Network.
The Unseen Hand. A new exploration of poltergeist phenomena. By Jenny Ashford. Author of The Rochdale Poltergeist, House of Fire and Whispers, and The Mammoth Mountain Poltergeist. The Unseen Hand is a comprehensive collection of over 100 reported poltergeist cases from the first century to the present day. All the best-known cases are presented, from the Bell Witch to Jeff the Talking Mongoose, from Rosenheim to Tina Resch, from Enfield to the Entity. A large selection of fascinating and lesser-known accounts from all over the world are also included, and all contain testimony from the most eerie and extraordinary events. The Unseen Hand is the ultimate compendium for readers interested in poltergeist disturbances throughout history and the theories behind what causes them. On sale now from Amazon in print, ebook, and audiobook formats. Go to Unseen Hand Book on Facebook and visit www.jennyashford.com for more information.
AGP, I have another question. Can you explain to me this video, Santa Homie?
What are they doing with Santa, homie?
There's a video I put up, I made a copy of because I never wanted to go away, of this black Scientologist who was at the opening of the Inglewood Ideal Org. He's their one of their black representatives. He thinks he's going to be some rapper, and so maybe he has money and they're sucking it out of him, I assume. But he's like this no-talent guy who, of course, has come to Hollywood and they've opened their doors for him. And he's like, he took his beard and he made it into two dangly little like braids or whatever, like, and it looks like there's like slobber or cum dripping off his and they put him in this Clearwater Christmas palace, because what better winter wonderland is there than Florida, soon to be underwater from steaming global warming? And he sings this song called Santa Homie, which I am so naive, I thought he wrote himself, but apparently it is another song that he changed the word. Yeah, it's a cover of a ripoff of another song.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
Sure, when Warner Music executives went to go after him with rights, they go, oh, Church of Scientology, well, never mind, let's let him have it.
Well, yeah, that's probably what... Is it like Santa Baby? Except Santa Homie? That's the first thing I thought of.
Probably, yeah.
He's like Mr. Yo-Yo Gangsta in this white winter wonderland for a space alien cult. It's just terribly
space alien.
Only in America, for real.
Okay. Here's another story. AGP, tell the audience about the story of the gay starving Scientologist kid.
So yeah, I wasn't planning on shooting a video, but I was going somewhere, and I guess I had my camera on, and I came back from it. On the subway. I was downtown and came back on the subway at the Hollywood and High Line. I come out and there's this starving Scientology kid, skinny and tall, like the kind you said saw before, obviously malnourished, which is what they do, because if you don't get enough sleep and you don't get enough protein, your brain doesn't react properly. The downside is you become really stupid and you have to be told 8 times what to do. So like, I've watched Scientologists who are angry talk to me, like Ava Paquette, one of their lawyers, she like talked to me like I was an idiotic moron who had like, you know, like an attention span of 4 seconds because I'm about to pass out or whatever. Yes, like you work for free and you haven't had enough to eat, but you're still going. And no, you're an idiotic moron. I can't get you to do anything properly. So like he's really skinny and I saw him there and like I turn on the camera. So basically my thing is when I go undercover, you'll see that the screen switches to 4x3. It's not widescreen. There's black bars on both sides. That can mean that I am undercover and they don't know that there's this like camera hanging around my neck. Recording low resolution video and nice stereo sound of everything they say. So I walk up to them like I'm C-3PO, but in reality, I'm this bug-eyed little R2-D2 with this eyeball watching them right around coming out of my belly button. Everything I do involves distracting them so they don't look at that while I manipulate the camera, like tilting it up or down or whatever, or pressing, taking pictures. And he just completely fell for it. And this guy was giving out brochures, even though he was clearly being punished and wearing all black and looked horrible. And he's probably sent out there maybe to make amends or to maybe, instead of being on the gulag for a little while, you can be a body router, which is one of the lowest jobs in Scientology. So you have to be really low to be excited to be handing brochures out and stuff. Brochures which most people throw on the ground within 50 feet if they take them at all. I made sure to get him in trouble and point out to him that I'm a major protester, a suppressive person, an SP, and that L. Ron Hubbard said you shouldn't even be talking to them and like you're doing it. So the great leader has all these rules for what you should do, and I know what they are, and he wasn't doing them. He goes, oh, but I like you. What I like to do is I take these little glimmers of humanity and creativity or protest and spunk that they may exhibit and just crush them.
Okay, let's talk about Scientology, AGP.
The more on camera that I identify myself as the enemy and they engage with me as a human being, the like worse it is for them later. So it really crushes that last bit of I'm a person right out of it.
AGP, let me ask you a question. If a Scientologist has sex with somebody, are they having sex just with that person or with a whole bunch of other people also? They believe in these hyper realities. Can you explain this?
Well, first of all, with Scientologists and sex, I mean, when you're a public Scientologist who just goes into church or whatever and comes back, they want to hear everything about you, even had a boob job or who you slept with. They want to know everything, your sex life, your sex peccadilloes, so that they can blackmail you and so that they can connect with other Scientologists that you're sleeping with and know everything that goes on about everyone at their most personal level. Then the second level of sex is in the Sea Organization, which is their priesthood. You can't have sex with someone who's outside the Sea Org. And if you do and find out that people have done that just to get kicked out because they wanted out. One guy went to a strip club in his Sea Org uniform dressed like a sailor and told them all about it loudly so he could get kicked out. Ironically, that's the easy way. If the hard way is I would like to leave and then they tear you apart for 6 months and you don't leave anyway. So sex in the Sea Org is very limited and you're not allowed to masturbate and you're not allowed to date people outside the Sea Org, but you never have time to meet anyone of the opposite sex in the Sea Org anyway. So like it's a massively sexually repressed, shame on you for masturbating. People are sleeping around behind the scenes and breaking the law constantly because the law is so stupid and phony. So that's another level of sex in Scientology. And then the final level, as we get down into the level of dynamics of S1s and 2s, sex in Scientology is like each person is not a person. It's a ever reincarnating Thetan. So you are all the people you were in the past and might even be in the future. So like they tell everyone that everyone was basically Luke Skywalker a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away because it could be in another galaxy and the galaxies are huge. The number of people you or things you could be on different planets as your Thetan spins around. Why, when you die, I believe that your Thetan orbits Venus a couple times. I'm not kidding. I told you L. Ron Hubbard, the creator, had the rules for everything, but I'm not here to badmouth L. Ron Hubbard. But because of that stipulation that everybody is a reincarnating being, each reincarnation is like a little unit in a centipede. So when you have sex with that person, you're theoretically having sex with all the people that they were in the past, which is like more legs on a centipede. So we aren't just one human being. We are like a centipede, and you're only experiencing one little segment of this centipede with its two little legs. And then you put it all together, and there's like 400 legs. Ooh!
Dirty.
I think it's funny. So you're not just having sex. It's not just sex. It's more than that. It's sex with a centipede.
Yeah. I think I saw that movie. I don't want to see that movie again.
That's hilarious. One thing I've noticed Scientologists, even like ex-Scientologists, they believe in what they call the tone scale, even if they don't realize they do. I guess if you become a Scientologist early on, it's hard to get this thinking out of their heads.
Yeah, one of the benefits of Scientology is that it claims to be scientific, which means dividing things into scales and groups and individually understandable concepts instead of vague things like love. You know, what does that mean? So the tone scale is their way of relating to people, kind of like some people use horoscopes. And instead of being a Gemini or a Leo or whatever, you're an up and down on this thermometer that gets better the higher you go and worse the lower you go. And so I'm 1.1 on the tone scale as a homosexual, which means I'm really scummy. And each one has a position. Like one is like a position of danger and, you know, like 72 is a position of hooray. I mean, they're conditions. And like when you see Scientologists protest and they go over to other Scientologists, they go, because of what we're doing today, you're going to a lower condition.
Yeah.
Which means your rank on the tone scale, and they all have one, is going to go down and you'll be treated like a certain way. Like if you're in a condition of treason, like you are like probably locked in a medical waste incinerator for 5 months at a time while they drug your food until you want to starve yourself. Someone like me, who's an outsider, who's 1.1 on the tone scale, is like considered a homosexual and just a degraded being, a DB. It's just horrible. And someone like Tom Cruise, who's clearly gay, and I'm not going to get into that today with all the some other time. I slept with the same prostitutes his people have slept with, but I slept with them for fucking free.
Burn.
Yeah, it's weird because
let's assume Tom Cruise is a homosexual. He's 1.1 on the tone scale, so he should be horrible. But because he's rich and famous, he's a wonderful Scientologist. And we're going to clear you of that. We're going to get you above, get you higher on the tone scale. And so maybe he overcompensates with his rah-rah of Scientology in a condition of havingness. And boy, does he have it. He's got so many places, anyway, that he's selling off now. But he's in a condition of havingness, not 1.1. So the tone scale is a theoretical thing that they tell the people, but in reality, they don't pay attention to it. Because if you're gay and you're rich, especially famous, like, oh, you're really high on the tone scale.
Okay. Yeah, because I've actually picked up from you just the things that you've said that there are certain, you know, ex-Scientologists that don't really approve of the protests that you do against Scientology. Oh. And I really think that's because they actually see things in terms of the tone scale. a normal person sees what you do and just laughs at it and enjoys
well,
it.
Well, after
goes
a while,
with it.
I think they internalize it.
Okay. Yeah.
Plenty of non-Scientologists find me offensive, so.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, too. I mean, you know, but I kind of
shock,
want.
It's a shock value thing, but I know what.
Yeah.
Know what you're saying, internalizing it, because I point out their own guilt and their own flaws, and then they like put up a blinder and like, no, he's just a jerk. You know, well, that's like watching The Exorcist and saying there's too much vomit in that movie.
Yeah, they don't get it.
You know, the demon is in the house, and like, I don't vomit. They'd be lucky if they, when I see some of these people and I tear them apart, the people who are watching at home who criticize me, who are exes, you know, are maybe possibly internalizing it. But that's just too bad, because the people that are on the street in Hollywood doing bad things, even that skinny kid is handing out brochures for a personality test designed to hurt people so that they will like crawl to Scientology begging for help. So like, you better believe the demon's in the house and there's going to be plenty of vomit in this video. You'll be lucky if it's pea soup, because usually it's just going to be vodka and orange juice.
I think a lot of it has to do not only with just like Scientology's tone scale, but I think it has to do with generational differences too. Because if you notice that, you know, Gen X and younger, they understand the concept of trolling.
Yeah,
but right. The older generations, and especially Scientology, because it's based on 1950s versions of morality, they don't understand that trolling is an effective tool. They don't get it.
They don't seem to.
It's like, oh, that's immoral. Doesn't matter if it's for a good purpose
or not. And one thing I noticed, because like I lived in Clearwater for a while and I worked for a company that was full of them, that was owned by a Scientologist and a bunch of people, and they really don't have much of a sense of humor anything.
No sense of humor, no concept of how useful trolling an enemy is.
Like they didn't, like if I said like real passive aggressive, like bitchy shit to them, it's like they just went blank faced.
They didn't get it.
They either take it literally or don't react, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Those people you saw with the note in that workplace, and you've seen Scientology closer than I have, believe it or not, because of your position. Those people that have no sense of humor, they have no sense of irony. They can't put things in quotes, you know what I mean? They don't understand trolling. That's one side of it. But the flip side of it is OSA. Those are the sheep, the wolves of Scientology. OSA, they really understand trolling.
So they're using it.
You just watch those incredibly childish hate videos they make. I mean, they are the kings of trolling, and they would hire people or take over anonymous websites like whyweprotest.net and just infiltrate and troll and take over. And like one sleazy PI would have 10 sock puppet names and all log on at once to badmouth me. And they would all agree that I stink.
As if it mattered, though.
They do. Like, I've seen some of the websites that they've made, like, against people that spoke out against them and stuff like that, and they're really lame. I thought they were lame.
And they're not effective. Nobody buys into that. Nobody cares.
And I would think, especially nowadays, like, the stuff that they're like, oh, we have all this dirt on you, it's like, nobody gives a shit about that stuff.
No, nobody cares.
No.
This is not 1955.
Right.
Nobody gives a shit.
Would you care if Tom Cruise or John Travolta was gay? I mean, it's like, Carrie Fisher said before she died, like, John Travolta, we're all talking about you. You know we're talking about you. Just, like, get over it. But they can. But, like, you see, just like I said that the security was on us the minute we walked into the Ideal Oregon Englewood because nobody goes in there. It's like, would you have seen that video of the hate things if you weren't interested in it to begin with?
No, it backfires.
Of course not. The only audience that hate video is made for is the great leader David Miscavige, and that's why it's so childish and stupid and living in a bubble world kind of a view. And you thought it was incredibly unhip and tacky, I'm sure. It's only made for him. And if you watch the videos that Saddam Hussein made about his enemies or what North Korea makes about people, they have the same incompetent bullshittery to them, except the Scientologists have better production values than Saddam did.
And now he's got to worry, about Leah Remini's drones flying over his house.
Leah Remini doesn't have drones. Her show just takes advantage of the free drone footage I gave them that a friend of mine uploaded.
Oh, okay. Ooh.
We got to put some of that in.
Oh. So it's up in some of my Twin Peaks stuff we can talk about in a minute. But it's not drones from Leah Remini he has to worry about. First of all, I heard a couple days ago before it broke on Tony Ortega's blog, TonyOrtega.org, that A&E is going to – or no, Lifetime is going to do a cheapy Lifetime movie of her book, Leah Remini's book. I can't remember the name of it. But anyway, Troublemaker.
Don't worry about it. Leah Remini's book. We know what you're doing.
And so she's got a second season of her work that my stuff is going to be on again. And they're doing particular they particularly like the Twin Peaks stuff and things involving Scientologists, various legal people. I have lots of footage of that over the years. So you can expect to see some of that. And the nice thing about the Twin Peaks thing is, like, as the production person told me there, good. I'm not sure we'll use this, but it really lets us use some new concentration camp images, because like the ones we were using of your old ultra barrier horrors were like we've overused those. Now we've got new black ones covered with spider webs and forest filth. She can say that, but that's what she meant.
okay AGP, what do you want to talk about? Lay something on us.
So Nasty Nathaniel. And if you go to YouTube and search for Nasty Nathaniel, you can see his anti-cop videos. And a lesbian protester named G.I. Jenny, who's an ex-Marine. We all drove out to Twin Peaks secret base where church leader Shelly Miscavige is allegedly stored. And it's the secret base where they built a vault into the ground of where L. Ron Hubbard's words are stored on metal plates in inert gas in a sort of extraterrestrial Tupperware that prevents them from they cannot be dented. They cannot rust. They will not be exposed to the outside world. They do not know who the president is. They are there forever. And we went up there to see the one part of it we hadn't seen before. So the police ended up coming after us because they charged the Scientologists and called and charged us with trespassing. And like the police came and they spent like half an hour with us. It's like four police cars, five cops. And like you could have found Shelly Miscavige by this time if you had like invested this much effort into that instead of seeing whether we're trespassing or not. So they said that we might be trespassing. It's just ridiculous. So, I mean, what we did was first we went to a nearby Christian compound and trespassed there. And then we parked our car there without their permission. Because G.I. Jenny had discovered that if we park there, we can sneak through the woods and see the one part I haven't recorded yet by trespassing on their property. They own this big woods. But there was no trespassing signs. I saw one sign that was really faded that I think said, "Don't dig here because there's an underground gas line," but there were no trespassing signs, even though I knew the property was Scientology. They don't say so it's not trespassing, is it? So we get to the bottom and then there's a no trespassing sign right on this big scary fence full of spikes and ultra barrier, which is 3-inch long aluminum porcupine quill things. Unfortunately, that no trespassing sign was not large enough and did not cite the proper California code. Therefore, it's an illegal no trespassing sign. So we're still not trespassing. If they had put up a legal no trespassing sign, teenage yahoos would be there all the time bothering them because it draws attention to it. And like eventually people, hip teenagers in boring town, figure out what's fun to do in their neighborhood because there's nothing else around. And we looked. And this was through the woods, the back of their compound, which is known for being a security fence. And there was this long suspension bridge that was beautiful that was built about 100 years ago when this was a rich compound for the ultra wealthy of Los Angeles it was a big enough city now that they wanted someplace to go that was out of the way, that was not the quote big city. And you're up thousands of feet in the air and you could like see beyond the desert past Palm Springs to the ocean on a really sunny day. You could see a little bit of the Pacific Ocean on the horizon. It's so high up. It's called Rim of the World.
Rim of the World.
No.
Butt licking. Now, I am trying to talk about religious matters.
Okay. Sorry.
The next thing you know, we're going to talk about amoebic dysentery and other diseases you can get from that. So it's a beautiful place and the buildings are gorgeous and they're over 100 years old. And here was this beautiful suspension bridge that ended in this ultra barrier zoo fencing inside other fencing. So there's like a suspension bridge. And at the end of it, just like in a video game, is a fenced in area and you can't get out of it. And it makes me wonder if there were, that might be a place they stored Shelly at certain times over the decade or so she's been there. And along the fence, stuck on the ultra barrier, were these pink ribbons. And it was very sad. Like, who keeps putting these pink ribbons up? It's like, Is it a tribute to someone? I assume a woman. If it's a tribute to a woman, is it Shelley? I don't know. But we found pink ribbons there. I'm not saying why they're there, but we didn't put them there. And that's obvious from the photographs because they are like sunburned and covered with dust and obviously look like they've been there for some time.
So you're telling us you think you know where they're keeping David Miscavige's wife?
Well, I don't think that, but other Scientologists who have left say that her mail was forwarded to that location for years.
Okay.
It's likely that she's there. And if I was going to store her, I would always store her in the middle. And I would never let her go out. But we met a woman there who was on Tony Ortega's blog and has talked to me. I won't talk much more about her because she wants to be anonymous. But she's pretty sure she saw Sally Miscavige over the past year or so in the local stores looking emaciated and with two young 20, 30-something handlers who were very close on her. This woman's a reputable source that has worked in the criminal justice system. And unfortunately, because there's so many meth addicts there, she has a big security thing around her house with dogs because there's so many meth addicts. You have to have that in the country. Otherwise, it's too lawless in San Bernardino. Can you believe it? So she can't be fair gamed. So they can't go through her garbage, but she's been followed and she showed up and she gave us a little sign to put on there and we left that sign there. And as we were walking along, taking all these incriminating photos, we just saw some lady inside who was wearing an outfit, looked like what they used to wear in Auschwitz with the little gray pinstripes, but she was really fat. So it was like fat Auschwitz.
Oh, man.
Cannot leave this place, but it's a rich place and we're full of money. And so like, you're going to get fat here because you can't walk long enough in one direction to lose weight. And the police came. First we trespassed onto some of their area and took pictures that were very incriminating. And then the police came and they said, they say they were going to charge you with trespassing. And, were you trespassing? And I said, no. Mostly true. And like, the good news is, well, the bad news is technically we were trespassing as I knew what I was doing all along. But the good news is that we didn't do any damage. We're just taking pictures and they didn't properly document where you're not supposed to trespass. And no police report was filed despite the fact that there were five cop cars there. So like I can say this, you know, that their legal department is now writing all this down. I trust you because I haven't talked about this until now. I haven't even run it past my lawyer, but the point is they can't do anything because the main nastiness of trespassing is like they told us to leave in that area. We left. But we didn't break anything, touch anything, steal anything. We went through their forest, but we did not take any wood. That's a big deal in California. Like if I would take a piece of wood out of there, that would have been more serious. Or if I had taken one of their oysters, that would have been very serious because there's these big trespassing laws in California about you can't take oysters. And I'm like, well, we're like 50 miles from the coast and up here so high. There's snow on the ground. No oysters. So I can say, yeah, we broke the law. Yeah, we trespassed there. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it?
They're going to change those signs.
They will change those signs. They've probably taken those little pink ribbons down. They're going to put up much more fencing. And when I was there in 2010, they afterwards planted so much fencing. They have double gates now. It used to be when I worked there, walked up there the first time, they had a gate. You could just walk up to this big glass window that was, you know, bullet resistant and talk to whoever's inside through a microphone. Now they have a second gate, so you have to like go through the first gate. And there's all these plantings that are, guess what, thorny and painful and large. Because they've been growing for 7 years. I, the angry gay pope, make an appearance, and they make their holy amends by planting plants in honor of Earth Day and stuff. And I walked along the fence, and there was a place where the bushes had died off and they needed to put more in. And I saw all these white polyvinyl chloride PVC pipes sticking out where they irrigate it. So I can sit here happy and smiling, knowing that they are wasting water and all this money and landscaping expenses and stuff on me just because I showed up in 2010. And now I've shown up again.
So they're going to have to write some more checks, yeah. I guess.
So what you got planned, AGP? You got anything coming up? Well, it'd probably be top secret, huh?
Well, this weekend there's going to be a diversity march in West Hollywood. So I'm going to be covering that and talking to some of the sheriff's deputies here because the sheriffs in West Hollywood are really funny. It's really funny, that kind of stuff. And that'll be a more festive video. But so I've got Nasty Nathaniel at Gold Base, where a police officer supports Scientology. And that's going to be a big show that is – nobody's protested at their home world, which is Gold Base in Riverside, California, where they have a big movie studio, in a long time. So I'm using that as an excuse as a wonderful clip show. It's going to be all about that place, using Nasty Nathaniel and his friend in it as the police stumble around. And what they do is they just call the police willy-nilly and throw mud at the wall. And they said someone's fighting in the street. And the CHIPS officer arrives, and like there's just two guys there. Meanwhile, Nasty Nathaniel is dressed like a terrorist, which did not help, okay? You do not dress like a terrorist protesting Scientology. There's a reason why I wear a rainbow shirt, fuzzy blue pants, a Pope head, and a spooky mask. I mean, like, do not look conventional or a terrorist.
Okay, AGB, why don't you go ahead and plug?
Okay, so AngryGayPope.com is my website, and you can find links there to if you want to become a patron or donate to help me fight Scientology. It's Patreon, patreon.com/AngryGayPope. And if you go to YouTube, just search for Angry Gay Pope, or Google Angry Gay Pope, also on Facebook and Twitter. But the main deal is AngryGayPope.com, where you'll see the history of everything and the detail, along with pictures and video links to YouTube, which is my also other really big thing. I have over 400 videos on YouTube going through the years. You can see Scientologists aging before your eyes. Wow.
True.
I remain magically youthful by remaining off camera.
That's the secret right there. That's what you got to do.
Well, thanks so much for having me on, guys. It's always fun to catch up with you two Florida hipsters.
Yeah, and it's good to have you back. It's been 9 months since you've been on. We got to have you back on before the end of the year, too.
Yeah, let's see. You know, July is a big protest month that they have a lot of things that Nasty Nathaniel wants to go to. And then in November, you've got the Christmas parade and the opening of – hopefully they'll have L. Ron Hubbard's Winter Wonderland again. And that's always a cornucopia of interaction possibilities. So by the time we get to December, it'd be perfect. So why don't we say in December? Because that's about 6 months from –
That sounds good. You know how to contact us. And when it goes down, just drop us a line. We'll have you back on, because I know the audience loves you and they're going to want to catch up with you.
So much. End of comm line.
And end of comm line. See you, AGB.
Okay, and that was the second interview that we did with the Angry Gay Pope.
Yeah, we'll have him back again.
And we'll definitely have him back. We were talking about having him back in December, which I think is...
Yeah, he's a funny guest, and everybody seems to like him.
Yeah, he is a very funny guy. Yeah. And like I said, check out his website, AngryGayPope.com, and check out his YouTube channel. He has hundreds and hundreds of very entertaining videos up there of him trolling various Scientologists and going to their secret bases and taking pictures of all the weird security measures they've taken. And
whatnot. You can just sit there and binge watch for hours. He's good
because Scientology are unbelievable, man. Like all the weird, like security. You think it was Fort Knox up in that fucking place? I swear, they're crazy for real. And like I said, I think I mentioned it on the first show, but I used to work at a company. I used to live in Clearwater, which is like their big like hub. Yeah. And I used to work at a company. It wasn't like a Scientology church or anything, but it was a company that was owned by Scientologists, and a bunch of people that worked there were Scientologists. So that's what we were talking about in the interview, that I had worked there with them. And I only worked there 8 months, and then I kind of ran away screaming because they were so nuts and I couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah, you talked about that on the first show.
Yeah, so I think I mentioned that before. Yeah. But, you know, in case you're too lazy to go back and
They'll watch it. Okay,
so anyway,
plug anything else? Books?
Yeah, buy my books.
Yeah.
Review my books. Please.
And if you want a free copy of one of the audiobooks, contact us and we can get you something.
Yeah, and go to our Facebook page, 13 O'Clock Podcast. Go to our Twitter page, which is also 13 O'Clock Podcast. Like, follow, blah, blah, blah. You guys know. Oh, and go to Zazzle.com/13 O'Clock Podcast for the shirts. Well, shit, I don't know what else.
Oh, shirts. T-shirts.
I just said that.
Okay.
Bye.
Reach out your hand and follow me. I have the code to the key to the secret of space. It's neurotology. Religion and science intertwined. Aliens live inside of our minds. A billion-year contract we have signed. It all makes sense to me.
The This has been an exclusive presentation of the Project Entertainment Network.